Last week, we talked about why we should build our foundation on Scripture and on God's Word. And we talked in our small groups this week on our 40 days in the Word. We talked about different ways that we can read Scripture and discover the meaning therein. And so today, we're going to be talking about how can I trust the Bible? And how can I trust the Bible? And so if you look in your bulletin, there's a handout there. You can follow along in some of the scriptures in there for you. And we wonder about the Bibles. A lot of people ask, well, how can we trust the Bible? How do we know that the Bible is really God's Word? God's Word is the most translated, best-selling book of all time. Okay, if you're going to do one for all of humanity, the Bible has been there and been most translated than any other book. And Scripture itself tells us that it is God's Word. In 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, it says, "All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, for rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." So Scripture itself tells us that it can be trusted. Your first fill in the blank. Scripture tells us that it can be trusted. Psalm 119 says, "All your commands are trustworthy." So we can trust God's Word because God does not lie. Everything that the Bible says is true. Hebrews 6 says that it is impossible for God to lie. And so God is telling us that His Word, our Bible, is His words, is the truth, is the inspired breath of God. And so this book cannot lie to us in its original form. The Bible was written by many eyewitness accounts, and archaeology has confirmed a lot of the things that we read in the Bible. Scripture was copied by very meticulous methods. They would do it letter by letter, and sometimes even more detailed than that, dot by dot, as they translate it. So we know that we have accurate copies of the manuscripts that we have today. So we can trust the Bible because it's historically accurate. That's our first point. Our second point is we can trust God's Word because it is scientifically accurate. The Bible doesn't give us bad science, and science and understanding is always changing. We always have new discoveries, new things that we're learning about the world and our bodies and the things around us. And you'd kind of expect that a book that was written thousands of years ago would give you some scientific methods and some things that were contemporary to its time. But what we can see is that really the Bible's not giving us invalid information that has now been changed over time. It's giving us true information that we can see even before its time has given us some information that is true. One of the examples is that often we didn't quarantine people that were sick until the scientists discovered germs. But in Leviticus it says that if someone's sick, to isolate them from the rest of the community. So there's things in the Bible, and I want to caution you on this. There's, and even in some of the material that I was studying this week for this, we need to make sure that we're not forcing the Bible to say something that is not true. And we don't need to try to force it to be a scientific textbook. There was one example of a group of people that said that there were 51 scientific laws that the Bible teaches, and then that someone said, well, those have all been misproven. And so I did a little research to try to find this pamphlet, and the pamphlet doesn't exist. There was no French group that said there's 51 things the Bible says that are untrue, and that had been later disproved, because there isn't a pamphlet that exists. Yet prominent people stand up before people and say, well, this has been misproved true by the Bible. And while the Bible is always true, it's not a scientific textbook. And so we don't want to force it to be a scientific textbook. And we don't want to overstate what it says. So we need to be careful. But we can trust it scientifically. The third way that it is accurate is prophetically. It has predicted thousands of events that have all happened as God has said they would. And it predicts events that will happen in the future. That will happen in the future, and we have confidence that they will happen in the future because of the track record. Scripture tells us that if a prophet is to be true, you need to test the prophet. And if even one prophecy doesn't come true from that prophet, then that prophet can be a false prophet. And Scripture has been accurate. 2 Peter 1, 20 and 21 says, above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things. For prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. There are over 300 prophecies in Scripture about the Messiah, about his birth, about his life, about his death, and about his resurrection. And all of those came true. Matthew says, but this is all happening to fulfill the words of the prophets as recorded in the Scripture. And the angel said to me, everything you have heard and seen is trustworthy and true. The Lord God who inspires his prophets has sent his angel to tell his servants what will happen soon. The prophecies that the Bible gives are true, and we can trust the Bible because it is prophetically accurate. The fourth reason that we can trust the Bible is because it's thematically unified. That means it's unified in content, in purpose, and in theme. And we're going to talk about some of the big themes in Scripture. But if you think about it, the Bible has 66 books in it, with about 40 authors, written over a period of 1,600 years, in 12 countries on 3 continents, written in at least 3 languages, and written by people from all walks of life. There are farmers, kings, soldiers, shepherds, princes, priests, historians, fishermen, tax collectors, businessmen. And Scripture was written in all sorts of different places. It was written in caves, in ships, in palaces, in prisons, and in deserts. And if you think about that, the fact that you have this all fitting together, it's as if we were to take and give everyone in the room 66 pieces of construction paper and said, cut these in any shape that you want, and then we're going to take them and it's going to fit together to make a map of the United States. That's how amazing it is that Scripture is consistent in the way that it is. Because all of these different things came together, and it's one unified body of work. And we know that that is the case because we can read it, but we know that because of this, that Scripture is accurate and we can trust Scripture. Because if you were to get 40 different authors to write, you're not going to get a consistent story. Just as if I gave you construction paper to cut, it's not going to magically come together and make a map of the United States. Yet that's what we have in Scripture. So the theme of Scripture that we see throughout Scripture is the theme of Jesus and redemption of humankind. Jesus said, you search the Scriptures because you think they give you eternal life, but the Scriptures point to me, Jesus speaking there in John 5:39. Jesus is the central character in Scripture. He is the focus of all of the Old Testament and all of the New Testament. It's not about you and me so much as it is our relationship with Jesus and how everything about him, his life, his ministry, his death, and his resurrection is part of the good news, is part of the salvation that we can have. And it's because of Jesus. So we can trust Scripture because it has that unified theme. The fifth reason that we can trust Scripture is that it's confirmed by Jesus. Matthew 5:18 says this, I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not even the smallest detail of God's law will disappear until its purpose is achieved. Jesus affirms that Scripture is important, and Jesus affirms that it will not pass away. Our sixth reason that we can trust Scripture is because it has survived all attacks. It has survived all attacks. Scripture has been despised, derided, denied, disputed, dissected, debated, outlawed, banned, burned. Just about everything you can imagine has happened to Scripture. Yet it's still here. Many regimes through history have tried to ban the Bible and said the Bible will fall away and no one will ever read of it again. Yet here it stands because it is God's Word. It's become a source of art and music and literature, and it stands firm over all of these years. Scripture is still here, and still people wonder, can we trust it? Matthew 24:35 says, heaven and earth will disappear, but my words will never disappear. And as the scriptures say, 1 Peter, people are like grass. Their beauty is like a flower in the field. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of the Lord remains forever. We can trust scripture because it has survived all attacks. And finally, the seventh reason that we can trust scripture is because of its transforming power. No other book that you read has the power to transform your life like reading the scriptures does. When you read God's word, and then when you apply it to your life, God can change your life. He will change your thinking, He will change your actions, He will change your whole being if you allow Him to. Romans 12 says this, "Don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think." When we talked last week, we talked about a lot of different ways you can base your life on, a lot of different things. And we said those are all like sand. And when it really comes down to the storms of your life, what do you want your foundation to be? Do you want your foundation to be financial security? Do you want your foundation to be good relationships with your friends and family? Do you want your foundation to be getting a really nice car or buying a really nice car for the pastor? Where did that come in? But the point of all of that is to say that that will all fade away. What is going to matter? In the end, it's going to be your knowledge of Scripture and your knowledge of Jesus that we are revealed to us through Scripture. The Lord's promises are pure, like silver refined in a furnace, purified seven times over. And Proverbs says that every word of God is flawless. And finally, in John 8, Jesus says this, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you," what? "Free." How will people know that you are a follower of Christ? It's because you hold to the teachings of Jesus. You hold to the teachings of Scripture. And how are you going to know what Jesus was teaching since we don't have a video? We can't Google him and find the lost tapes of Jesus. We have God's word. And so we read God's word to know what our Savior and what our Jesus says about life, about our faith. What do you want to build your life on? Because we need to build our house on the rock. And the foundation that we have is our foundational relationship with Jesus, which is revealed to us through God's word. You can trust God's word because it's historically accurate, because it's scientifically accurate, it's prophetically accurate, it's thematically unified, it's been affirmed by Jesus, it has survived all attacks, and guys, it has the power to transform your life if you let it. Would you pray with me? God, I thank you for the gift of your word. I thank you that you have given us this book, this revelation, God, of who you are and what you have done for us. God, I pray that we would grow in our desire to love you and serve you, and grow in our desire to read your word and study your scripture. And God, I just pray that we would not leave this place, God, today without making a commitment to following you and to reading your word, to learning it, to loving it, and to studying it, and to applying it to our lives. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to Pastor Kevin Daniels at Hayes Christian Church. Hayes Christian Church is a non-denominational fellowship in Hayes, Kansas. We are supported by the generosity of our members, attenders, and friends. The financial support we raise goes to projects which further spread the gospel to those who do not yet know Jesus, to local, national, and international missions, and they help to keep these podcasts free. If you'd like to share a monetary gift with us, please visit our webpage at hayeschristianchurch.org and click on the Donate button. Or you may mail your gift to P.O. Box 1111, Hayes, Kansas 67601. If you have questions, comments, or would like more information, we would love to hear from you. Simply go to our webpage and click on the Contact Us form. Thank you for your generosity, and may God bless you as you seek to follow Him.